Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you, team. All right. Now, I was supposed to start a series. I told you last week I was going to start a new series this Sunday. But something came up, and I'm not going to just start it till next Sunday. I got four sermons coming up of all the craziness going on in the world, from the Charlie Kirk assassination to conspiracy theories. I mean, just there is so much happening out there. And it's I got four sermons that I think I can put together to answer and explain everything that's going on. So we'll start that next Sunday. I wanted to do one more sermon this week on our relationship with God, our giving an account to God. We talked about the judgment seat of Christ last week. And then this last week, I heard two things from two different people that kind of touched me, and I wanted to make sure that these two things were addressed. When we talk about judgment and we talk about giving an account to Christ as believers. Sometimes people can, it can be presented in a way that might make people feel guilty or ashamed, or, and that's never the intent. And so I want to make sure today this is cleared up. This last week I heard from a person, how do I know I'm doing enough for God? And that can, because we're constantly, the Bible tells us to share the gospel, to be salt and light, to do these things and to do good. And God has saved us to do good. Ephesians 2:10 says that. And sometimes we can be teaching people and preaching and people feel like, oh, I'm just kind of getting beat over the head of all the good I have to do. I need to be doing all this stuff. So how do you know when you're doing enough for God? And then I heard another person say, you know, I want to be excited about seeing Jesus, but sometimes when I hear that I'm going to give an account to Jesus, I'm fearful and I hear people are going to be ashamed and it kind of takes the excitement of seeing Jesus away. And I understand that. People don't want to be fearful that they're going to be ashamed. And I don't want anyone to be ashamed either. And that's why I preach about it, because the last thing I want it for people is to be surprised that they're standing before Christ. Okay? And the Bible does warn us about being ashamed. Let me show you a few verses. First, we'll go back to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him, God, Jesus Christ, to whom we must give an account. Coming out of the Marine Corps, As a new believer, became a believer my last year in the Marine Corps, which I didn't realize at the time was going to be my last year. But this kind of teaching, the judgment seat of Christ, boy, when I first heard it as a new believer, it made sense. It clicked. Because as a Marine, or when you're in the military and you're given a mission or you're given an assignment by your commanding officer, you go out and you do that, whatever he had for you, and then you come back and you stand before him, what we called six and centered. He's at his desk, or he's standing behind his desk, or he's standing right there, wherever it may be, and you stand 6 feet in front of him, centered on him, and you report in, and you say, sir, mission accomplished or mission failed. And you have to give an account to your commanding officer who gave you that mission. So I understood immediately as a new believer standing before Christ and giving an account. And as a pastor, I'm required to teach the full counsel of God's word, including the hard stuff. But in doing this, I sometimes have to walk a very fine line. Not too hard, too much of the hard stuff. And not too light. I need a balanced approach so you understand what's hard. Understand the good and the bad. The judgment seat of Christ is real. We will all stand before Jesus as believers. You will give an account of your Christian walk. I want you guys to be prepared for that. But at the same time, I don't want you to dread this moment, to be scared of it, wondering if you're going to be ashamed, wondering if you've done enough. Like I said, the Bible warns us not to be ashamed. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent. The Greek there means to give a full effort, a full account. Be diligent. Everything you have, be diligent to present yourself. That's what you do before Christ. You're presenting yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, this is everything. Rightly dividing it means to study it, to know it. 1 John says this, 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, that's us. When John writes this, he's a very old man. And so he's looking at all the people in the church as his little children. Now, little children, abide in him, abide in Christ in context. And when he appears, we may have confidence and we're excited and not be ashamed. You see, there's two ways. You can have confidence and excitement and passion. Or you can be ashamed before Him that is coming. I want the first for all of you. So rightly dividing the word of truth, abide in Him. These both describe a believer who is seeking Jesus through the word and walking in relationship with Him, not in church religion, not in church attendance, and not in just being a good person. No. It goes much deeper than this. The relationship defines everything. And you have to have it. A real relationship with God. It begins with being born again, truly being born again, being saved, putting your faith and trust in Christ, turning from your sins, turning from your old way of life. And then you embrace the relationship. Next slide. There we go. Yeah. We talked about this in depth. This is what you were called to. This is what God is asking of you. The relationship is the key to everything. Knowing if you've done enough. Not being ashamed. The relationship. If you take the relationship seriously. If you seek God, you seek Jesus through the Word. To understand Him and know Him. To seek the sanctification of the Holy Spirit through the Word. The relationship will change you. It'll guide you. It'll equip you. It transforms you. It renews the mind. It changes the heart. The sanctification found inside the relationship through the Holy Spirit by the Word of God is the key. If you take your relationship that God has opened up to you through Jesus Christ, life, death, burial, and resurrection. If you take the relationship seriously, then all these things, all those, God will do in you and through you. The exact amount of what you're supposed to do. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship in Christ Jesus to do the good that God has for us to do. You see, we're His workmanship. God working in you to do everything on that list. This relationship is everything. But see, people let religion steal the relationship. Then it becomes a little clipboard. Oh, let's see. I've read my Bible. Check. I prayed. Check. I went to church this week. Check. And I'm a good person. No, never see yourself as a good person. Just don't. All right? We don't have any right to. Stay humble before the Lord, realizing it's all about Him and His righteousness. Now, can He make us better people than what we were before? Yes. Can we be good people in this life and love people and do good? Yes. Just remember it's all because of Jesus. And don't do a checklist. How do you think Wendy would feel if my marriage to her, my relationship with my wife, was, okay, Wendy, I've been a good husband. I've done this, 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 and this. And this kind of was defined our relationship. How do you think Wendy would take, you wouldn't take that, Selena? Selena's like, no way. No, because that's not personal, is it? But we have a personal relationship with God, which is kind of hard to understand. To have a relationship with someone you can't see. But you can hear from Him. He's written you a long, long, long letter. It's really good. Talks to us. Holy Spirit comes into us. You see, this relationship, if you take it seriously, sanctifies you. Sanctification is the process of being changed from the inside out. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 says this, for both He who sanctifies, the Holy Spirit, God sanctifies us, And those who are being sanctified, that's us, are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed. He's not ashamed of us. He's not ashamed to call us his brethren. You see, we're God's children. Jesus, we're brothers and sisters. Because he walked as one of us. To call us his brethren. It's not about how many good deeds you've done. God wants you to know and understand him. And when we take the relationship serious and we seek to know him through the word, the Holy Spirit takes this book, which is alive and powerful, and it transforms our hearts, renews the mind, and makes us a new person. And we're going to do things that we never thought we would do and be. The relationship is the key. Philippians 3, verse 12. Paul says, not that I have already obtained, and none of us have attained, none of us have arrived as Christians, as disciples. Not that I've already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Why did Jesus save us? Did he save us just to save us? Paul says, no, I lay hold to what Christ laid hold of me. Christ wants to save us, yes, but in that salvation, he wants to save us to be one with him, to be transformed into his image of his mind and his heart, and to serve the cause that he came to serve himself. Jesus said, I've not come to be served, but to serve. I have come to save that which is lost. See, when we're saved, Christ is saving us. He's laying hold of us to save us, but also to serve the cause. He wants us to become images of him so people can see Jesus in us wherever we go and they too can come to him and have what we have. But again, this is understanding what the relationship has done for us and what the relationship has called us into. It's this upward call. Philippians chapter 3, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There's this calling upon our lives to be more than what we used to be. Before we were sinners, we were just living life our own, doing our own thing. But there's so much more that we've been called to walk with God, to know him, to understand him, to abide in him, to love him as he loves us, and to be what he called us to be, his church, his team upon the earth, to serve his cause. This is what it means to have a true relationship with God. It's a two-aspect relationship, and I'm going to sum it up like this. It's like a marriage and a career combined. I know that sounds a little weird, but this is the way I see it. I have a marriage with Wendy. Before that marriage, before that covenant relationship where I swore an oath to her, before that I entered that covenant relationship with Wendy, I was just my own guy. I was doing my own thing. But see, that commitment, that relationship, when it began, changed everything. I wasn't a single guy anymore. I'm a husband. Soon, you know, as most husbands, to become a father. Everything, because of the relationship, everything about me had to change. Now I'm committed to her, to love her, to protect her, to serve her. She's my partner in life. She's my best friend. I'm to esteem her needs before my own. The relationship changes all my priorities because I love her. She loves me. And the relationship itself has changed me and made me a better man. This is what it means to have a relationship with Christ. It changes everything. Not just coming to church, not just trying to be a good person. No, it changes everything about you if you'll let it, if you'll seek the relationship. And it's this love relationship where you're abiding in Christ and Christ is strengthening you and walking with you. God is with you. But it's also like a career. And I mentioned earlier the Marine Corps. And I went to the Marine Corps right out of high school. And the Marine Corps, or just in the military, general, whatever branch you join, you're theirs. You know, you give up your right to choose what you're going to do, where you're going to go. Especially in like the Navy and the Marine Corps, they are going to teach you how to talk. You're going to come up with a whole new language. They're going to control everything about you. But you willfully do this. You raise your hand, you swear an oath, and you enter in. And the Marine Corps defines everything for you. How you're going to dress, how you're going to eat, when you wake up, when you go to bed, where you're going to move to, where you're going to go. They call the shots. You're theirs. And you see, that's what being a disciple and being in the church is. God calls the shots for us. He says, here, I saved you. You're mine. I purchased you with a heavy price. Now, here's what I want you to do. He's more gentle than, let's say, the U.S. military is about it. But he's calling us and he's giving us these standards. The Marine Corps made me a stronger man as my wife with Wendy made me a better man. It's this relationship and this career, this aspect of following God, this relationship kind of combines them both. It's a relationship that gives me an occupation, a career. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I am part of the company, the worldwide company called the church. And I have a mission. And it's to preach the truth to those who are lost. To get the truth out there. And you guys have been called to the same thing. To be His church. Our relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, becomes a new way of life. It doesn't mean necessarily you have to give up everything in your life. No, many times it works with what we have in our life already. It just gets more focused about God and it gets better. We are never perfect in this relationship. And that's okay with God. He doesn't expect it. But He does expect you to seek it. He gave His life for this purpose. Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, we get this, have this same mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. We have a pattern. Remember, Jesus is our great example. Paul's a great example. People who have walked the faith, they're walking a true relationship with God. These are the people you need to look to and follow and be like them as Paul, and especially as Jesus Christ. Because look at this, is the opposite. Philippians 3, verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, many walk this faith, this saying they believe in God and believe in Christ. They told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. And if you go back to the sermon last week, I talked about how they turned the church and God and Jesus all about them. They've made God all about them and this relationship, and it's all about church, it's all about me, so you better do what I want you to do in church and all that stuff. We talked about that last week. They are actually showing that they are opposite of what they're really supposed to be as people who have a true relationship with God. They do not. Philippians 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior. You see, this relationship changes everything about us. It should. It should make you a better person. Not by your own hands, but by God's hands. We should be more like Christ. Not perfect at it, but we should be better. Each year we should be a little better than we were before, right? And it changes even our citizenship. And we can be a proud American patriot. There's nothing wrong with that. I'll be talking about that in a couple weeks in that series that is coming hard pressed. But our real citizenship, our real identity is found in Christ, found in God, it's found in heaven. That's what we work for. That's what we seek. From which we also eagerly wait for the Savior. We wait for Him. You see, in the relationship, you're not worried about, are you doing enough? You're not worried, oh, will I be ashamed before Him has come? No, because the relationship, God is working in you and through you. And you're waiting for Christ. You can't wait for Christ. You're eagerly waiting for Him. Who will transform our lowly body that may be conformed to His glorious body. So, next slide, Levi. You know, Levi's not up there. He's sick. Gordon. The relationship. This right here. If you take it seriously, God will get this done in you. He will get it done. It's not you having to do it all. It's God doing it in you and through you. Let me show you. Philippians 1:6. Be confident in this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Who's doing the work? You are, but you must surrender to it. As we sang in the last song, we owe it all to you. I hear at the cross, I surrender my life. Ah, you sang it. Did you mean it? Because if you surrender to it, you seek it, God will perform it in you. The good work here in context is salvation. So we come to receive salvation, to be born again. But in that salvation means you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You're indwelt with the Holy Spirit to give you power to be salt and light, to be His witnesses. Also, for sanctification, to be transformed in the image of Christ. And in the sanctification, your spiritual gift will get developed. You'll become a disciple. You'll be part of the church. It's going to change your life. And you're going to want to do what God has called you to do. That's the work. That's the fruit of the Spirit. As a pastor, I want this for each one of you. I want you to get it, to understand it, and be prepared and be ready for it. I don't want you dreading it. I don't want you. This relationship, this is what God calls you to. This is the standard. If church attendance is your standard, you're going to miss the mark. If having a little clipboard saying I'm a good person, you're missing the mark, and you will have a hard time standing before Christ. I'd have to be honest with you. This is the standard. This is what God is calling you to. To glorify Him, to embrace discipleship and sanctification, to lead others to Him, to be the church, to bring your spiritual gift into the ministry of the church, to be salt and light. This is the life we are called to. This is the standard. You must understand that. There is no, you can't rearrange this. You can't ignore us. You can, but it's going to backfire on you. This is the standard. Seek the relationship and let God do this in you. It will cost some sacrifice for you. It will. There's a price to following Christ. He paid the price that we could come to Him and be saved. But there is a price. Is He worth it to you? or are you going to shortchange yourself and you're going to come up with your own standard and requirement? If you do that, you might be ashamed before Him at His coming. It'll work for now. It'll take the pressure off of you. Maybe you won't have to sacrifice for Him, but you will stand before Him. That's why I teach what I teach, so that you know. Last thing I want to do is beat you over the head. Okay? My Marine Corps days, I'd have no problem with this. But now, I don't want to beat you down. I don't want to Code Red you. Remember the movie Code Red? We didn't call it Code Reds. We called it blanket parties. But I don't want to do that to you. I want to try. I don't want to beat you over the head. I don't want to make you feel guilty. I don't want to make you feel unworthy. And I don't want you to make you feel like you're not doing enough. But at the same time, I want to challenge you. I want to push you. I want you to get it. Because there are requirements on you. Jesus laid hold of you. You need to lay hold of this for the same reason. And it's more than just you being saved. It's you being saved to be what He has you to be, to become, and to serve Him in His cause. He purchased you. You need to lay hold of that. You need to own it. There are requirements on you. You are accountable to God. You will stand before Him one day and give an account. I don't seek to beat you over the head, but to motivate you, to encourage you, for us to work together as a team, to understand we are accountable as a church and as individuals, that we all have the same mind and understanding in this. Philippians 3, verse 16. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Let us understand this judgment seat of Christ. Come on up, team. I want you to be encouraged about the judgment seat of Christ. I want you to be excited about it. I want you confident but when He appears, because you've taken this relationship with Him seriously. Not church religion, not Christian religion, not American Christian religion, but true biblical Christianity. Where it wasn't easy on Jesus. It wasn't easy on the apostles, the disciples. They didn't get their best life. They suffered. They sacrificed. But they had a relationship with God. And they were able to bring much honor and glory to Him. And their deaths, very honorable. I want to encourage you in this. I want us to help each other in this. And one day, hopefully, all of us will hear each one of us will hear God say to each one of us, Matthew 25, verse 21, His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Hope that clears up anybody's fears or misunderstandings of the judgment seat. It's real, it's serious. There are requirements on you. God will get you there. God will get it all done if you seek Him and surrender your life. He'll work in you, and you'll have to, and you follow Him, and you won't have to worry. Take the relationship seriously. Grow in Christ. Grow in your understanding of the book. Because the book teaches us everything we need to know in this life about God. And we are here to help you. And I want you to be successful in Christ. I really do. This last song, let it be our closing prayer. Sing this song as if you can, you're praying this to God. I think it's a beautiful song, and it's a song about wanting to glorify God. And if that's your heart's desire, let this be our closing prayer this morning.
They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him.
As sun gives way to darkest night, your spirit still is here. And though my strength it's like the light, new mercies will appear. I rest in you.
Amen? Amen. Let's break out here on count of three. One, two, three. Break. Let's go.